Our Easter service at CCV is going to be different this year, but it's still going to be exciting, and you want to be a part of it. You see, we're one church that meets in many locations all over the valley, and we've never had a chance to all be together for one service. And so we decided this year, let's have one service together. Where are we going to have it? Only place that could hold us was Cardinal Stadium. So we're going to be at the Cardinal Stadium this Easter, April 5th, one service at 10:30. Let me tell you some things so you can be prepared in advance before you come. First of all, the gates open at 8. I want to encourage you to get there early. Try and be in the parking lot at least by 9:30 so you can get into your seat and be ready for all the pre-service activities, because the service will start at 10:30. It's also a family service, so we'll have activity bags available for your kids to keep them occupied during the service. You might want to tailgate with some of your friends. If you do, be sure and get there early again to tailgate before the service. I want to encourage you, don't come alone. Fill the car, carpool, invite your friends and neighbors. This is going to be a once-in-a-lifetime, exciting Easter service, and you won't want to miss it. I'll look forward to seeing you at Cardinal Stadium, Easter Sunday, 10:30.
Yeah, that's good, huh? Exciting times. I just want to welcome all of the CCV campuses today, and I want to echo Pastor Don's words and say, I hope you're getting excited, and I hope you're getting amped up for this year at Easter as all of our campuses come together in one location. And I just want to say to you that it's always a good thing to invite somebody to come to church with you, but maybe this year at Easter time, maybe don't just invite people, but actually bring people with you. Because if you just invite them to the stadium, you may never find each other at the stadium once you get there. So go ahead and jump in the same car, bring them with you, or tailgate early so that you can be there and experience Easter together. I also want to say this. For most of us, we are close to somebody who is far from God. That describes most of us in our lives, at school or our workplaces or our neighborhoods. And there's no better time than Easter to bring somebody who is far from God close to God, so that they can see him and Jesus more clearly. And I hope you'll do that. I'm excited to be there with you and celebrate in Cardinal Stadium this year. It's going to be fantastic. As we get headed towards Easter for the next couple of weeks, we're starting into a brand new series called Unstoppable. And I thought it would be a good idea as we begin this study to just think about how we use this word, unstoppable, in our current culture. As you know, we're in the midst right now of March Madness. The NCAA tournament is raging on right now. And so if you think about the world of sports and you think about NCAA tournament, maybe the first unstoppable thing that I think about is this person right here, Coach John Wooden. You think about him and his UCLA teams in the mid-1960s, 1970s. Did you know that they won 10 championships in 12 years? That's pretty amazing. At one point, they won 7 in a row. They also had 88 wins in one stretch. That's incredible. I mean, John Wooden and his teams were virtually unstoppable when it comes to NCAA tournament wins and victories. If you go to the world of entertainment and music, maybe you think about this young lady right here, Taylor Swift. When it comes to making music and hit songs, she just seems like she is unstoppable. By the way, did you know that Taylor Swift had a single release earlier this year, and it went directly to number one? A while later, she released another single, and she actually knocked herself off the number one spot. Her music just stays at number one. Not very many people can do that. She sold like 40 million albums. Hundreds of millions of downloads. When Taylor Swift says she's going to come and play a concert at a stadium, it sells out in minutes. Not hours or days, but in minutes. She's basically unstoppable, it seems like, when it comes to making hit music. Or what about corporations and companies? The first one that comes to my mind being unstoppable is this corporation, the Apple Corporation. Now, I don't know what you think or feel about Apple. Maybe you love it, maybe you hate it. But they seem to be, in many ways, unstoppable when it comes to innovation. By the way, they're getting ready to cause even young people to start wearing watches again. Are you aware of this? The Apple Watch is coming. These guys have like $17 billion in the bank. And that's like more than many countries have. It's phenomenal. They seem unstoppable. But you know this is true. Any of these sports dynasties, any of these entertainment divas, any of these tech companies, eventually all of them are going to fade, right? Eventually all of them are going to come to an end. And there's really only truly one unstoppable force in this world, and that is God's church and God's people. That's the only truly unstoppable force in this world. It's true. I hope you know that. And today what we're going to do to kick off this series is we're going to talk some about God's people, the unstoppable Christian. If you have a Bible with you today, I want to ask you to grab that. If you have a smartphone or a tablet or the CCV app, whatever it is you use to locate things in the Bible, open up to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, that's where we're going to be studying today. And let me just bring you up to speed with where we are in Acts chapter 4. It's very important to understand the context and the time period that we're getting ready to jump into. Just a short review on the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus goes up. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes down. That's the way to look at the book of Acts so far. Chapter 1, Jesus goes up. Chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes down. In Acts chapter 3 in the Bible, Peter and John and some of Jesus' other disciples who are now full of the Holy Spirit of God start walking around and they start doing miraculous things, just like Jesus was doing when he was on earth. And one of the things Peter and John do in Acts chapter 3 is they heal a man who had been crippled from birth. And he was like 40 years old. He'd been begging right at the temple gate. So he was like sitting right at the front of the big church and everybody saw him. He'd been there for 40 years. He was crippled. He was begging and these guys healed him. And this sent shockwaves through the whole town. The church was becoming unstoppable and the religious leaders didn't like it. So as we get to the beginning of Acts chapter 4 today, Peter and John get arrested and they get put into jail. And these guys have a really big decision to make. And that is simply this. Are we really going to do this? Are we really going to live our lives for Jesus? I mean, we're in jail now. Are we really going to do this? Maybe you've had a similar situation in your life. You started living for Jesus, and everything was pretty much fine. Everything was cool. And then you faced some opposition. And you had to decide at some point, am I really going to do this? Am I really going to take this Jesus thing seriously? Am I really going to live my life for him? That's where these guys are in Acts chapter 4. And in this section of scripture, we're going to see an uncensored look at an unstoppable Christian life. So let's pick it up. Acts chapter 4, if you found that, let's start in verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. Now again, this is Peter who just got out of jail speaking to the religious leaders who had put him there the night before. He said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called into account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all of the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified," by the way. He's pretty bold, right? This is a great way to make friends and influence people. I just want you to know that. "You killed him, by the way. You crucified him, but God raised him from the dead. That is how this man stands before you, healed. He is the stone the builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." And when they saw the courage of Peter and John, and they realized that these were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Now, right there, in just those 5 or 6 verses, there's 3 different characteristics I want us to consider about living an unstoppable Christian life. If you're taking notes, the very first characteristic is this: unstoppable Christians are filled with the Holy Spirit. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. Look again at verse 8. Peter says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people." Friends, understand that the reason Peter was able to do the things he did, and the reason he was able to say the things that he said is because he was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And CCV, understand this. You cannot be unstoppable on your own. You just can't. It doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't matter how savvy you are. It doesn't matter if you've been in church for a lot of years. It doesn't matter if you've memorized 70 or 80 or 100 verses. You can't be an unstoppable Christian on your own. You just can't. You know why? It simply is. It's because the Christian life isn't hard. Did you know that? It's not. You know what the Christian life is? The Christian life is impossible without the Holy Spirit of God living in you. So maybe a good question for us to kind of wrestle and grapple with just a little bit is simply this. How then do you get the Holy Spirit in you? How do you get the Holy Spirit inside of your life? And you know what? We could debate that all day long, couldn't we? I mean, all of us on all of our campuses, we have different kind of church backgrounds. We have different upbringings in different homes. We all have certain thoughts, and we all have certain opinions on the activity and the presence of the Holy Spirit. But let's just do this for just a few moments today. Let's just kind of put aside all of our church backgrounds. Let's put aside a lot of our opinions concerning the Holy Spirit, and let's just look at exactly what Peter says in the book of Acts, chapter 2, about what the Holy Spirit does and how he comes to us in our life. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Friends, if you want to be an unstoppable Christian, the very first thing you should consider before anything else, the very first thing you should consider doing is, first of all, repenting. That means turning your ways. Repent and be baptized. Because the Bible says clearly that when we do that, we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit into our lives. And the Holy Spirit brings all kinds of unstoppable attributes into our lives. If you're taking notes, just write down some of these things that the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit brings power into your life, brings protection around you and your family, brings clarity into your life and comfort when you're feeling down. It brings conviction. The Holy Spirit convicts us of certain things and brings comprehension and understanding and insight. In fact, if you think about one of the hallmarks of a person who has an unstoppable Christian life, one of the hallmarks would be understanding and comprehension and insight into the Word of God. Take a look at what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 12. "And God has actually given us His Spirit, not the world's spirit, to tell us about the wonderful free gifts of grace and the blessing that God has given to us. In telling you about these gifts, we have even used the very words given to us by the Holy Spirit, not words that we as men might choose. So we use the Holy Spirit's words to explain the Holy Spirit's facts. But the man who isn't a Christian can't understand and can't accept these thoughts from God, which the Holy Spirit teaches us. They sound foolish to him because only those who have the Holy Spirit within them can understand what the Holy Spirit means. Others just can't take it in. But the spiritual man has insight into everything, and that bothers and that baffles the man of the world who can't understand him at all." Now, what does all of that mean? How does that play out in our lives? Well, here's what it means. It means that this book, the Bible, was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And if you understand this book, as we're studying today, if you understand this, that is a sign and that is a gift of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Let me just say this another way to make sure that there's no confusion on what happens in here today. As we are studying today, if you all of a sudden get it, is we're studying Acts chapter 4, and the message all of a sudden makes sense to you today. I promise you, that's not because I personally have chosen just the right words or put just the right stories and illustrations together. You see, one of the most powerful purposes of the Holy Spirit of God is to illuminate our minds and help us understand the Bible, the Word of God. If you're taking notes, maybe write this down. You must have the Spirit of God to understand the truths of God. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is saying. You got to have the Spirit of God in your life if you really want to understand the truths of God in your life. Now maybe some of you right now in your minds would argue with me, and you're arguing with me right now, and you're going to always win that argument, right, because it's in your mind. But some of you are saying, you know what, Todd, here's the thing. I can understand everything you're saying. And I don't think I really have ever repented or accepted, and I don't know that I have the Holy Spirit living in me, yet I can understand everything you're saying. And here's what I would say to you. You may comprehend or grasp the information, but you will not experience the transformation. That's just kind of what it looks at. You see, the truth, here's the truth of this book, the Bible, is more than just hearing it on Saturday or Sunday. It's actually living it on a Monday. Somebody say amen? That's the way it is. It's really easy to listen to it. It's really hard to live it. For me, I'll tell you this. Preaching is so much easier than life. It really is. I can stand up here and preach all weekend long. But when it comes to actually living this out on a Monday, it's difficult. And so here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that you may be an excited and inspired person on Saturday or Sunday, but to be an unstoppable Christian on a Monday, you got to have the power and the presence and the insight and the understanding of the Holy Spirit of God living in you. And by the way, let me tell you something else about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not just a gift for pastors who stand on stages and preach. The Holy Spirit isn't just a gift for people who have been born in Christian homes. The Holy Spirit is not just a gift for those who have been coming to church for at least 5 years. If you've been here for 5 years, you're eligible. No. It's not the way it goes. The Holy Spirit is available to every single person who would decide to accept and surrender their life to Jesus. It's an incredible, incredible thing. And the Holy Spirit is always going to be a common factor in every single unstoppable Christian. You can't be unstoppable on your own. And once you get God in you by the power of His Holy Spirit, then what happens is this. God starts to do bold things through you. You get the Holy Spirit in you, and then God does these amazing things through you. Here's the second characteristic of an unstoppable Christian, and that is that they're courageous in their claims. They are courageous in their claims. Look at verse 12 again. Peter says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Peter makes this just incredible, powerful, courageous claim. And the bottom line is he's saying this. Jesus is the only way to heaven. That's what he's saying. Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. And notice that these are not just Peter's ideas. These aren't just Peter's theories or notions. Peter is actually repeating what he's heard Jesus say just a little bit earlier. Jesus says of himself in John chapter 14, verse 6, he says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Those are Jesus' words. Now, I know this. Listen. I know that in our current culture, verses like this seem so incredibly narrow. And maybe some of you sitting here today on all of our campuses, maybe some of you are sitting here today and inside your minds, you're thinking to yourself, you know what, Todd? I get this. I see the verses, but it just sounds so exclusive to me. And Todd, to be honest, this is maybe what's going on in some of your hearts right now. Todd, to be honest, you know what? I love coming to church. I love bringing my kids to church. I love being involved in a neighborhood group. But Todd, I just got to tell you, I don't know if I could tell somebody at work that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Todd, I don't know if I could tell somebody at my school, one of my classmates, that Jesus is the only way. For crying out loud, Todd, I don't know if I could tell somebody from another religion that Jesus is the only way to heaven. It just seems so narrow. It seems so close-minded. And by the way, Todd, it doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem fair that Jesus would be the only way. And if you feel any of that inside of you, if you feel any of that in your heart today, I just want to say to you, with every ounce of persuasive power that the Holy Spirit who lives inside of me gives me, I just want to say to you, you know what? It may not be palatable. It may not be politically correct. This may not fit in a box that plays well with other religions of the world. That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through him. It may not be politically correct, but it's true. It's true. It just is. And friends, listen, this is so huge. On all of our campuses, listen to this. Do not make the mistake. Do not make the mistake of determining what is true by what seems fair. You don't do that in any other area of your life. Don't make the mistake of determining what's true by what seems fair. For instance, let me illustrate it. Tax season is coming, right? Sorry to bring that up. April 15th is about here. And let's just say that you have this letter from the IRS that shows all of this money that you owe, but you decide this year you're going to write a little letter back to them. And your letter is going to say something like this. Dearest IRS, I do not believe that the current tax code is fair. Therefore, I don't think it's true that I owe you this money. Guess what? What's true is you're going to be in jail. That's what's true. You see, what seems fair and what's true does not always seem to sync up in our lives. And when it comes to Christianity, the question is not, does it seem fair? The question is it true? And just for the record, I would say to you today that not only do I believe it's true, but I also believe that it's fair. I mean, let me just ask you this. If you're taking notes, what could be more fair than this? First of all, everybody is welcome. That sounds pretty fair. Everybody is welcome. Doesn't matter if you're young or old. Doesn't matter if you're male or female. Doesn't matter if you're really smart or not so smart. Everybody is welcome. Number two, everybody gets in the same way. There's not a way for people who live in Arizona to get into heaven and a way for people who live in California to get into heaven. There's not a different way for people who live in Europe and people who live in Brazil, and you got to kind of figure out where you live. It's kind of complicated. It's like the tax code. Depending on where you live, that's how you get in. No, everybody gets in the same way. And then finally, number three, the price has already been paid. That's Jesus. Let me ask you something, friends. What in the world could be more fair? Everybody is welcome. Everybody gets in the same way. And the price has already been paid. What could be more fair than that? Unstoppable Christian people are continually pointing people towards Jesus. And they're constantly echoing the words of Peter in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. And they say things like this. You know what? Listen, this may not be politically correct, but there is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And unstoppable Christians are making these courageous claims. And the reason they can make these courageous claims is because they have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Once you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, he allows you to make some of these courageous stands and claims in your life. And here's the third thing that unstoppable Christians are a part of, and that is they have spent time with Jesus. Unstoppable Christians have spent time with Jesus. Again, back to the book of Acts, look at verse 13. When they saw the courage Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled and ordinary men. They were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Friends, listen. You want to lead an unstoppable Christian life? Then you need to get around Jesus a lot. It's pretty simple. This is where the rubber really meets the road of living for him and living an unstoppable Christian life. Get around Jesus a lot. And let me just ask you a question today. And don't raise your hand on this and don't, you know, point to anybody. That's inappropriate, okay? Let me just ask you this question. Think about this. How much time do you spend with Jesus each week? Let's let that sit out there a minute. Think about it. How much time do you spend with Jesus each week? And because this is so comfortable, let me go a step further, okay? Would you say you spend more time with Jesus or Facebook each week? Do you spend more time with Jesus or on social media each week? And let me just say this to you. Friends, listen, I love social media. I love being on social media during the week and connecting with so many of you. I really do enjoy and love social media, but you know what I think? I think Satan loves it more than I do. And I think he loves it more than you do. You know why? Because social media, for so many of us, has become a distraction to spending time with God and Jesus and his word. And let me just say this to you. Let me just be as straight as I can with you and shoot as straight as I can. For many, many years of my life, I have preached and I have taught and I have said this. You know what? If you want to change your day, you just need to get up early in the morning and spend 5 or 10 minutes with God. If you want to change your day, just get up and spend 5 or 10 minutes in Proverbs and read through that, and it'll change your day. And I've preached that for a lot of years. And you know what? I believe it's true. I still believe that's true. But I want to add something to that today. And I want to say this. If you want to move beyond just changing your day and your life, and you want to begin to change the life of your family, if you want to begin to change the life of your neighborhood and the people at your school, your classmates, the people at work, your coworkers, CCV, if we want to change this city, if we want to change this state, CCV, if we want to be an unstoppable force for Jesus, here's what I think. I think it's time that we man up and admit that we're going to need more than just 5 or 10 minutes a day with Jesus. I think that's what it's going to take. I don't think this world is going to be one to Jesus with what we can conveniently give in our lives. It's going to take some sacrifice and some time and some effort getting close to him. And think about this. We know this is true in our world. Think back to how we began this study today. Think back to people in sports. Let's say this weekend you're watching the NCAA tournament and you see this guy who is just dominating on the court. When you see him dominating the court, you don't think to yourself, wow. I mean, I bet he spends like 10 minutes a day working on his game. The guy's unbelievable. No. You know it's taken hours and hours and hours a week to become that kind of unstoppable force. When you look at the business world and you see some unstoppable business, you know it didn't happen in just a few minutes a week. When you see somebody who's an incredible artist who can sing or play guitar in an amazing way, you know it didn't just happen on a diet of a few minutes a week. They spent time. And listen, I am not suggesting to you today that the kingdom of God and our relationship with Jesus operates under the very same rules as the business world or the sports world or the entertainment world. But here's what I believe. Please don't miss this. I believe that if you and I think we can live lives like the people we're reading about in the book of Acts off of a diet of only 5 or 10 minutes a day with God, we're deceiving ourselves. I believe we're setting ourselves up for a spiritual letdown. If we think we can spend just a few minutes with God and experience a huge Christian life, we're setting ourselves up for a letdown. I really do. That we can spend just a little time with God and experience a big Christian life. I think we're setting ourselves up. And the reason these guys that we're studying about today in the book of Acts could be unstoppable and say the things they did and do the things they did is because they had spent a considerable amount of time with Jesus. And so here's the question for you today and this weekend. Here's the takeaway today. What's stopping you from being unstoppable? Think about that in your life. What is it that's stopping you from being unstoppable? Maybe it's this very last thing that we've just considered. Maybe it's just time. You know you need more time with God during the week because the truth of the matter is you come into church on a Saturday or Sunday and that's fantastic and you bring your Bible and you underline things and you take notes and you put it on the app and that's fantastic, but then you go home and you don't open your Bible again all week. And you know what you need in order to feel that confidence and that power is you just need some more time spent with Jesus and God's Word during the week. Make a commitment towards that today. Maybe for you, you spend time with God, and what you know you need is to just be more courageous. You have some classmates at school or some coworkers, and you need to just speak up and speak out and say, hey, you know what? I believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I believe Jesus is the way to heaven. You need to be courageous in a claim like that with some of your neighbors and then just see what God does. Or maybe some of you today need to do what we started with at the very beginning of this study. You need to repent, which means turn your ways. And you need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And the Bible says you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. I'm not sure what you need to consider, but I would ask you for just the next couple moments as we listen to this song from the band, consider these things that you could do to become this type of unstoppable Christian.